Good morning. Isn't this great? Our young people, LTC. I know most of you probably don't realize, but Jessica Hendricks goes above and beyond and does, I couldn't list all the things that she does for LTC that really, really help us and make a huge difference and are just a tremendous blessing. And so she serves and she serves and she serves, and she deserves some honor. So we want to thank her and thank God for working through her. If you're planning to go to the men's retreat this weekend, the devil is going to work on you this week. If you've gone to one of our men's retreats in the past, let me just see a quick, guys, if you've gone on one of our men's retreats, thank you. If you're thinking about going, ask one of those guys what it's like. And if you're thinking, if you're planning to go this weekend, we will leave Saturday morning. If you're planning to go, I firmly believe the devil will give you about 5 or 10 reasons throughout the week to not go. But please, overcome that. Come with us. If you haven't signed up, it's not too late. Come see me, Tom Cotting. Tell someone at the Welcome Center. And we want to have a good group going this weekend. I think we have over 20 signed up right now, and we'd like to get up to 30. So we have a lot of great things planned, and we look forward to it. We're excited about it. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 30, verse 22. I know our young people, a number of our young people are filling out outlines, and we have a deal arranged. We have candy and we have a candy and outline exchange in the foyer afterwards. Young people, I may skip a verse or two today. That's okay. I won't count off. All right? Just be mindful of that. You remember Jacob wanted to marry Rachel. He fell in love with Rachel, wanted to marry her, and Laban said okay, but he got tricked, and he had to marry her older sister Leah in order to get Rachel. Had to work 7 years for her. And during their marriage and their life, remember, Rachel was barren. She couldn't have any children. Meanwhile, her sister Leah had 4 sons. And all that time, don't you know that Rachel was praying, God, I want a child. Well, Rachel, from her handmaiden, Bilhah, she has Dan and Naphtali. And so that's kind of from her, but those are not her children. Leah, from her handmaiden, then has Gad and Asher. And Rachel, no doubt, is still praying, God, I want a child. Then Leah is able to have Issachar and Zebulun. And finally, Genesis chapter 30 says, then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb. It's not that he had been ignoring her. This is how Scripture says that God answered this prayer, these prayers of Rachel's that she had prayed, no doubt, time and again over all this time. And that child that was born to Rachel was none other than Joseph. It's no wonder that boy had a coat of many colors. Don't you know his father, Jacob, had been praying all those years for his wife Rachel to have a son. And God finally answered those prayers. Remember Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was 75 and Sarah was 65 years old. They had no children. Now, how many times do you think they prayed for children? Anyone ever prayed to have a child? I remember when we lost, Stephanie got pregnant and we lost a child to miscarriage. And I remember crying about that. That's a loss to an answered prayer. And I remember us praying and she got pregnant again. And when Abby was born, I remember crying again because this is an answer to many prayers. Children are an amazing blessing from God. How many times do you think Abraham and Sarah prayed to have a child? And so finally in Genesis 12, Abraham is 75 years old now, and Sarah is 65. And the Lord said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you're no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. This is Genesis 17. I want to back up to 12. God says to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. So this is Abraham 75 years old, and God says, I will make you into a great nation. Now, Abraham didn't miss the fact that in order to do that, he has to have children. So God is going to answer that prayer. He's 75 years old. And I would expect that very next month, he's checking with Sarah, are you pregnant? Month two, are you pregnant, Sarah? Month three, God said we're going to have children. I mean, a great nation. We have to start with one, right? Are you pregnant yet? On and on. 10 years pass. 10 years. And then Abraham and Sarah come up with this way that through Sarah's handmaiden, Hagar, they'll have children, and maybe this is God's plan, and they had Ishmael. But that wasn't God's plan. And finally, in Genesis 17, by the way, this is 25 years later, God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you're no longer to call her Sarah. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. God kind of spells this out because they got confused. They thought maybe it's just through Abraham, but not through Sarah. Abraham, it's through both of you. I will give you a son. 25 years later, do you know what Abraham said? God is saying, I'm answering your prayers. And what does Abraham do? He laughs. He falls down and laughs. He falls face down and laughs. Why does Abraham laugh? Because to Abraham, this is now laughable. God, I know you promised this. I know we prayed for this, but you haven't answered our prayer. 10 years have passed. 20 years have passed. 25 years have passed, and God, Sarah, is now 90. Abraham says it's impossible. But God finally answers this prayer. And the point is that God doesn't always answer our prayers quickly. Think about Moses. Moses waited 40 years. When Moses killed the Egyptian, remember he came and he found an Egyptian that was abusing a Hebrew, and he kills the Egyptian. Remember that? And his own people kind of turn on him. And he flees. Abraham flees. At that point, Acts chapter 7 tells us, verse 25, that Moses knew God was going to use him to rescue his people. And it is 40 years between when Abraham killed the Egyptian and the burning bush. Moses kills the Egyptian and the burning bush. 40 years pass that Moses knows God's going to do something, and when God finally does it. Sometimes when you pray about things and enough time passes and the very thing you actually prayed for happens, you forget. In 2010, this congregation started growing. Early 2010. And we have been growing steadily ever since. At that time, in 2010, late 2009, we were averaging about 145 on Sunday mornings. The past 6 weeks, not counting Easter and Family Day, and believe me, I'd like to count those 2 days, but not just for the sake of everything really being on the up and up, trying to get an accurate picture and an accurate number, not counting Easter and Family Day, past 6 weeks we've averaged 271. Today we have 291. And Richard tells me that's an accurate number. Now, if I tell you 291, I probably added 10 or 15 thinking I missed some people. God has blessed us with tremendous growth. If you have come here to our church family since 2010, you were not here before 2010, raise your hand. If you've come to be a part of our church family since 2010. So look around. That's quite a few. Okay. If you've come since 2010, you may not realize some things that happened prior to that. But we used to have prayer meetings. This was before Monday Night for the Master. Monday night prayer meeting. We'll pray tomorrow. This was in the bulletin. We'll pray tomorrow evening for the lost, spiritual needs, growth of our church, 7 p.m. in the activity building. Raise your hand if you remember seeing this in the bulletin every other week for a while. We used to gather and pray, and we had one rule about these prayer meetings. And the rule was we will not pray at these meetings for physical problems, illness, loss of a job, marriage problems, those kind of things. Now, that sounds wrong. I realize that. But we had one rule, and it was, we will not pray about those things, physical things. A couple reasons. One is, we frequently pray about those things, and we should. They're important. So, we basically cover those. But the second reason is that we wanted to force ourselves to pray for the lost and the growth of the kingdom. And we met for a while in the auditorium here on Wednesday nights. We met for a while across the street in the activity building. We met for a while in the fellowship room. And every second and fourth Monday nights for an hour, we would come and pray. If you were at one of those meetings during that time, raise your hand. I know we'll have a few of us. I could remember some. At those meetings, we prayed big prayers. We prayed for God to help us reach the lost. We prayed for God to help us grow. We prayed for God to help us grow so much that we couldn't get us all in one auditorium, and that we would need two auditoriums. We prayed that God would help us grow to the point that we couldn't fit them all in the parking lot. That God would help us grow to the point that we needed a new building, a new facility, that we would have to leave here and build somewhere. And we prayed those prayers when we had 145 people on average. If you think about that, half the Sundays were more, but half were less. Now you look around this room, 291 this morning. Imagine less than 145 in here. And that's when we were praying. And we prayed this starting about 2006, twice a month. We prayed 2007, twice a month, 2008, 2009. January of 2010, we started Monday Night for the Master. We had read about a preacher who had developed a Monday Night for the Master program with a number of congregations. And so we had that minister come and basically teach us what he had learned and what he had done in the past, the success that he's had with a Monday Night for the Master ministry. But there's one thing that we kept as a part of our Monday Night for the Master that a lot of churches don't. And that is, at our Monday Night for the Master, we have a prayer group. We continue to have a group of people praying twice a month for the lost, for us to grow. And when we started Monday Night for the Master, that is precisely when we go back and look at numbers of our attendance. When we started Monday Night for the Master, that's precisely when we started to grow. And it's almost as if God were watching and God was saying, I want to see if you as a church are going to launch Monday Night for the Master, and as a church, if you're going to try to do it on your own. Are you going to include a prayer group? Are you going to keep asking me to be a part of growth? And we decided we will not drop the prayer group, but we will keep praying that we need God. We will have God at the forefront. We will ask Him. We will work to win the lost. We will work to grow, but we will have God leading the way. And we will commit meaningful prayer time to asking for the increase. And since that time, about 5 years have passed, and we have grown an average from 145 to 270. And at that time, some of you remember this, when we were praying and not growing, we would say frequently, when we grow, let us not forget that we asked for God to help us grow. Let us not forget that we prayed for this. 1 Corinthians 3:5 says, what, after all, is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. Why have we grown? There's one simple answer. God made us grow. Why have we grown? God. Now the how did we grow? How did God make us grow? That's a whole different question. And I believe that God has helped us in a lot of ways. I believe He's done a number of things. But if someone ever asks you about your church the church here and you say, you know, God, we've really been growing. And someone says, well, what do you think it's been? How has that happened? Let us not say, well, we're just a really loving group of people. Let us not say the preacher is this. Let us not say our worship is that. Let us not say, well, Monday Night for the Master is great. Let us not say any of those things about us. If someone asks why, the answer is God. Amen. It's God now, and it will always be God. And if we forget God, I shudder to think what that looks like. Us being prideful and thinking it's us. It's not Apollos. It's not Paul. It's not us. It's God. And God has done it through us. But He gets all the credit. And so this morning, if you're praying for something and God hasn't answered it, I know Darla's praying and God hasn't answered her chronic pain yet. And she's still praying. And we're still praying with her, still praying for her. I know there are others here who God hasn't answered your prayer on something. God didn't answer Abraham and Sarah for 25 years, didn't answer Moses for 40 years, didn't answer the Hebrews in slavery for 400 years. Keep praying. We're going to close with a song, Lord, Listen to Your Children Praying. And we love God and we praise God. We give Him all the credit for all that's good here. But keep praying. If you're part of the Monday Night for the Master prayer group, thank you. I'm very thankful. It's not a large group. And I'll tell you, we need more to come on a Monday night and say, I'm here. I'm not here to fix things. I'm not here to help with child care. I'm not here to write cards or make visits. I'm here to pray. We need more to come and say, I'm just here to pray. Not to just pray. I'm here to pray. Because that's how things happen. We're going to sing this song. If there's someone here with a need this morning, if you need us to pray with you and for you, if there's someone here, especially if there's someone here that needs to give their life to Christ, we would love to help you with that. Anything you need, please come while we stand and sing.
Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord,